This is Weekend Edition on WNYC. Good morning, I'm David First. The final gubernatorial debate was held this week in New Jersey. Republican candidates Lieutenant Governor Kim Guadagno and Central New Jersey Assemblyman Jack Cittarelli squared off in Newark on NJTV. They got into it over property taxes and the legacy of Chris Christie. Here for an update on the governor's race just over 2 weeks before primary day is managing editor of New Jersey Public Radio, Nancy Solomon. Welcome.
Thanks, David. Good morning.
Nancy, the most striking thing about the Republican side of this race seems to be how far the candidates will go to distance themselves from Chris Christie.
This has been pretty amusing, I have to say. Guadagno took credit for the state's improvement on jobs without mentioning Christie's name. Both she and Jack Cittarelli opposed the $700 million renovation of the State House that Christie is pushing through. And they've argued openly in both debates about who opposed Christie more. They're both against the gas tax hike. At Thursday's debate, Cittarelli actually went so far to suggest that Guadagno was at fault for not vetoing it while Christie was out of state and she was acting governor.
She didn't speak up on the gas tax until after the raging debate had ended. In fact, she had an opportunity to veto the gas tax.
So let me get this straight, Jack. When the governor leaves the state of New Jersey, you want the lieutenant governor of the state of New Jersey to tip down the hall, pull off the desk a document and veto it.
If anyone believes that that would have been possible, they do not understand the role of the lieutenant governor. But it shows the problem that Guadagno is facing. Her political career depends on Christie, and his lowest in the nation favorability ratings and his ongoing support of Donald Trump are not helping her at all.
In the debate Thursday night, the two leading Republican candidates spent a great deal of time arguing over their respective plans to reduce property taxes in the state. How do their plans differ?
Guadagno is proposing what she calls a circuit breaker. If school property taxes are more than 5% of your household income, you'd get a $3,000 rebate. Most analysts have called the plan unrealistic. Cittarelli called it irresponsible.
It's based on false savings, phantom revenues. It's a promise that can't be kept.
It's appealing to voters, though. I mean, you know, can we dream, can't we? Cittarelli's plan to reduce property taxes is to reduce funding to school districts that have seen gentrification and hence tax growth, like Hoboken, Jersey City, and Asbury Park. But it's unlikely that the state can save enough with three towns and continue to fund all the school districts in the state that have high numbers of poor children.
Well, one of Lieutenant Governor Kim Guadagno's suggestions is that she will save a lot of money by conducting an audit of Trenton.
We have to sit down and audit every single agency, take that savings and put it back into where we need it the most, which is in the school funding. If you go back through and order a statewide audit, I will find that $1 billion in any number of pots. We talked about the audit. Let's audit it.
But Jack Cittarelli, who happens to be an accountant, isn't having it.
The CPA and me, listen, nobody loves audits more than I do, but the lieutenant governor has been in charge of the Red Tape Commission for 7.5 years, and her answer to everything is an audit.
What is Guadagno proposing specifically?
I don't think there's actually much more detail except just that she'll audit programs to look for savings. This isn't that different from what we've heard from Republicans for a couple of decades now. Cut, waste, fraud, and abuse. You know, no doubt there is waste, fraud, and abuse, but I don't think we've heard anything specific to suggest that we're going to find, you know, an extra $1 billion laying around.
What about the Democrats? Last week, they held two debates. Former Goldman Sachs executive Phil Murphy has been leading in the polls by a wide margin. Are you seeing any change in the fortunes of the underdogs?
It's hard to say. Let me put it that way. There haven't been any new polls out since the debates. Candidates Jim Johnson and John Wisniewski say that they're closing the gap. When I'm out talking with people, the person they've heard of is Phil Murphy because he's got the money, he's running ads, he's putting out door knockers, he's sending postcards. You know, people say they've heard of Phil Murphy. That's the leading Democrat. So Democrats say, I guess that's who I'm going to vote for. Others express concern about the way he's throwing his personal fortune around. Yeah, we've been saying this now for a couple of months. The main thing I'm hearing from voters is that they're not paying attention yet. And with blockbuster news coming out of Washington every single day, I wonder if the primary on June 6th is going to get even shorter shrift than New Jersey primaries usually do.
Well, on that note, Nancy, let's step away from the governor's race for a moment. You broke a major story this week detailing how Republican New Jersey Congressman Rodney Frelinghuysen sent a fundraising letter to a board member at Lakeland Bank. And in a handwritten P.S. on that letter, the congressman targeted an employee of that bank who happens to be an activist who has opposed his agenda. That bank employee ultimately resigned. Can you talk about the fallout from this revelation?
One interesting thing is that Cook Political Report has announced that Representative Frelinghuysen's district, he's been there 22 years, that they've just changed the rating of the race from likely Republican to lean Republican. So that means whereas he was considered to have a lock on it in previous elections, now they're saying that it could go either way. You know, that's a pretty big change. He's never had a legitimate challenge. So this week, a woman named Mikey Sherrill quickly jumped into the race. She looks like a pretty strong candidate. She's a former Navy pilot and a former federal prosecutor. So that also happened this week. And then, you know, this could have ripple effects in other Republican districts in New Jersey. I'd say the most vulnerable is Leonard Lance.
Well, New Jersey Congressman Leonard Lance was on WNYC this week talking about his Republican colleague.
I do send out political solicitations. I don't think I've ever written a P.S. on them, perhaps. Say thank you. And let me say regarding Rodney, whom I've known my whole life, he is the chairman of the Appropriations Committee, and I think he does an excellent job in that regard. And he is the only chair of a committee, I believe, from our region of the country, from the East. Chairs tend to come from other regions, and I certainly think he's doing an excellent job as chairman of the Appropriations Committee.
So it sounds like he's saying, I would never do something like that, but hey, I've known Rodney forever. He's a good guy, and he's a local boy in a leadership position. You don't want to lose that, folks.
Yeah, I think you can hear that statement as walking the tightrope. He is trying to figure out a way to show that he doesn't approve of the behavior, but he's not going to break ranks with his friend and fellow Republican. You know, really, what can he do?
Managing editor of New Jersey Public Radio, Nancy Solomon, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, David.